Hey there, Queen Comedy Podcast listeners. This is James, and you know I love to stay up on the newest things in tech. So I thought I'd share a new podcast called Tech Headlines Today. It's a daily tech news podcast so you can stay on top of the current tech headlines. You can find Tech Headlines Today anywhere you find podcasts and at techheadlinestoday.com.
You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James. And today it's just, again, it's me. Nobody wants to come be my co-host. I don't know what's going on with this. Everybody's bailing on me, but it's okay. But today I have a great guest who he's normally a stand-up comedian, but he made this album that's sketches and skits and some of the most hilarious stuff I've heard. If you're a big fan of like their Jerky Boys or you like old Cheech and Chong sketches or anything like that, you'll love this. Now, it's not dirty like Jerky Boys, so if you're expecting that, sorry, guys, that's not going to happen. But the rest of it is all there. So please welcome the very funny, the very talented Brian Kahatsu. Brian?
Hello, James. Good to see you.
Good to see you, man. I am so glad to have you. I love your album. I texted you and I said, I want more of the Gary Busey ones, right?
Is that what there I said? There is a lot more. Actually, so the Gary Busey thing I used to do on my radio show. So I took one, but there are several more. I can send them to you. So
yes, please, please do. They're so funny. There's the whole album is great. And then I love that you close it with the Secret Asian Man song where you talk about how people misidentify you as, you know, as race. And it makes me think of, did you ever watch The Office?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember when Karen comes to the office and Michael asks her, was your father GI? You're very exotic looking. It just makes me think that all the time.
Yeah. That's so like when I do my standup, that's the first pretty much 5 minutes of my set is all about being mistaken as being Hispanic or anything but Japanese. And then over the years I've acquired all of those little stories, so I thought they're too hard to like kind of set up in my act, so I thought, oh, this is a good place for them. And then that's the name kind of came out of that for Secret Asian Man.
I love it.
That works. So but yeah, no, so this is a lifetime accomplishment coming together to put this album together. So, and the main reason I really wanted to talk to you about it was because when you had me on last, I said I was getting ready to do the album. And then I thought, I don't want to be one of those guys who just like, first of all, you're the only podcast I've mentioned I was going to do it.
Yay.
And then of course things happen. And then the pandemic hit. And then during the pandemic, I was like, I finally have time to do it now. And now that I was done, I'm like, oh, I got to call Clean Comedy, you know, podcast back and let you guys know I finished it. So yeah, there, I'm done.
That's accountability. Exciting. No, that's good. That's good. Sometimes you need accountability to get things accomplished, right?
Yeah. So, and I recall last time, so when I first did your show, I was suffering from valley fever. So my throat was, I had no throat. So I didn't sound like this either. Yeah. So I'm healthy now.
So now that you've done that, because we had another radio host who came on the podcast and he had a bunch of his radio bits that he put together in an album. And then this is similar, right? This is from a radio show that you used to do.
Only a couple are from the radio. Everything else is brand new, written new, produced new, all new. Yeah, okay. So Gary Busey is an old one. Burt Reynolds is an old one.
I love the
Burt Reynolds. And then I think there's the lead track, which is actually from the radio show, which is the stand-up comedian French Fry.
Yeah, actually super funny. I was like, I was like, oh, this is gonna be silly or whatever. It's funny because the puns are funny. No,
yeah.
I don't even know if it's because it's so bad. It's just like it's expected but also unexpected, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It started off as basically my radio partner, Stephanie, misspoke. She said something about, because Tom Papa was supposed to be at the Tempe Improv. And right. She said, and this week at the Tempe Improv is Papa Frida. She goes, what? Yeah, we all laugh. There's a French fry coming to the Tempe Improv this week. And you don't want to miss that. So then I just really quickly actually I riffed a few things that day. And the next day I came back with the full set. And then actually Ryan, our producer, he started putting in the rim shots after each thing, which I didn't tell him to do, but it worked perfectly. Perfect. And then the rest of it's it's history, pun history at that point.
Yeah, it feels like one of those old timey vaudeville type sketches that you could get away with the with the rim shot. And now nobody does rim shots. I think I was listening to Rodney Dangerfield album. At the end of his album, they were doing kind of like a rim shotty thing for his stuff.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen very much anymore. And I kind of actually like I know that's like hack, I guess, but I like it.
Years ago, though, I don't know if you recall this, there was a, because I'm older than you, but there was a thing where when Roseanne Barr was still married to Tom Arnold, they did a thing at the end where they did, Roseanne did old jokes or something, and then Tom was on a drum set doing the rim shot after each one. That goes back a long time. That goes back a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So as you put this together, how did you decide, like, did you write more than you put on the album? Like, is there a bunch left over on the cutting room floor somewhere? Is there more that you could do?
This took a while. Like, I'd get an idea and I'd write that sketch and then another one later on. But then I thought at one point, there was one I wrote with my kids that never got done. It was a three-parter, which the first one's not funny. The second one's a little bit funnier. And the third one is totally, it's not hilarious, but it's funny. But it was kind of, it was such a slow play, and I would have had to space it out through the album, whereas if you listen to it by itself, like track one and never heard two and three, you'd go, I don't get any of this.
Right.
It was a progression of a grandfather who was somewhat lying to the children, but you find out he's telling the truth at the end. He had met Elvis in the first one. The second one, he basically describes the Midtown skateboarding scene from Back to the Future. The third one, he talks about taking out the Japanese in World War II, which turns out to be the Die Hard. but there's little things in there that kind of tell you. There's a whole hint at one point that he was part of the Philadelphia experiment, fell overboard. That's why he was aged long enough. I try to justify everything, so it's real. But that one didn't make it, and a couple others. But I try to be. And the other thing I learned too is, man, you fall in love with your writing, but you got to take a hard look at it and start chopping things down quite a bit. So learn that lesson as an editor.
So. Now, for the voices and all these, did you have voice actors do things, like, or did you do most of the voices for stuff like Gary Busey and Burt Reynolds and all that stuff?
Yeah, I'd say 80% of the album, 80 to 85% is me. Then the rest is filled in by Stephanie, who used to do my radio show. She lives in New York now. Okay. She's very active in the Broadway scene. So for her to break away to help me is really super kind of her.
Yeah.
She wrote the song for Billy's Boulevard. I wrote the lyrics, she wrote the music for it.
Okay.
But she's on several of those cuts. Comedian Mike James is on a few cuts. Two other guys from my improv troupe, they're the voices. And then a lot of the others are just friends of mine, old production friends of mine from my video production company. Just in the old days, we used to do sketches periodically. So I thought it'd be fun old time, bring them back. They did some voices, but it was pandemic. So everybody a few people came to my house to record. Some of them just recorded. They had their own studios at home, sent me the files. And we worked it out. So it was kind of nice to just talk to everybody and see how they're doing and then have a project to work on and have an excuse to call more frequently. So that was good. So it was fun. And some of these people I haven't seen for a while, to be honest. So it was nice to reconnect. So.
That's funny because Luke and I have actually previously had talked about doing something like that where we wanted to do an album where we did sketches and stuff and he did music or whatever, since we didn't want to do a whole stand-up album, but we wanted to do something that was under the Clean Comedy Podcast name and do sketches and whatever and stuff like that. So this is pretty inspirational. I'm gonna have to hit up Luke and say, hey, we should do this now, because we have a bunch of things. Like, I wrote a commercial one time called Pocket Ninja. Like, so you have your different ninja. It's a ninja that you carry in your pocket that whenever you need help, like, it pops out and attacks people. So it's like, and this, it's like a, it's like one of those infomercials, like, are you at home?
Fisherman.
Yeah, pocket. Exactly. That was the idea. And then I had another sketch that I wrote for something, and I don't know what I did with it, but it was where a dad was trying to convince his kid that he was Batman. And so it was very much like what you did there with me. So I think I probably have six or so sketches that I've written out that they were just ideas. Like, oh, this is silly. And I wrote it out and then just left it. I haven't done anything with it. So I think we should probably do something.
Dive in and do it. I realized that after a while I was like, just do it. You know, just get the first one going. The first one I did was not, it's on the album and it was terrible. And I recut it. it was, I did it first and then I came back to it last, recut it again, added a few things. And I think technically it's still not my favorite one on the album, but I salvaged it. I won't tell you which one, so you don't go, oh yeah, I could tell.
No, I don't think I'd ever be able to tell. I love them all. I thought they were funny.
But yeah, that one, it's funny. So to kind of give you some idea of this, I did the first one and I brought my son in, and my son just turned 19, but he was 18 at the time. And I said, do you understand what I'm doing? Like, he'd never really heard Cheech and Chong album or even the Adam Sandler stuff. None of it. He has no concept of just an audio sketch.
Yeah.
To listen to. So I explained it to him. I played him the first track and he goes, oh, okay, I kind of get it now. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Great. So, but he wasn't laughing much at the first sketch. So then later on that day, my wife came home from work. My daughter came home from school. I said, give a listen. And my daughter's first reaction was, so this is supposed to be funny, right? You're killing me right out of the gate. So
it must have been, what if Dennis Miller was your father?
It was not. Is there? That's the one probably my wife doesn't laugh at the most.
It's funny, but it's like, oh, wow. Like,
it's out there because you don't.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers that old Miller style.
I thought it was shots fired. I was like, wow, he's going after Dennis Miller. Like,
that one's been in my head for a long time. Anyway, it's finally good to get out. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy references.
There's so good ones. The Papa Frida one I loved. Gary Busey is probably actually my favorite just because it's so wild. And then Dennis Miller caught me because I was like, oh my gosh, this is very funny. I can't believe somebody would do this. But I also couldn't tell if like you were being like shots fired at Dennis Miller or
no, I love Dennis Miller.
Okay. Or it was just supposed to be like, this is what I think it would be like.
Yeah.
And then Burt Reynolds and then Secret Asia Man, obviously are all
the Burt Reynolds was the first one I did years ago that got like all comedy radio started playing it. Then it got played nationally. And then when I was ready to do when I wanted to do a show in Phoenix, the manager at All Comedy Radio was familiar with the bit and knew me right away. So that kind of launched the radio little tiny career I had for about 2-3 years. And then, and Busey, all those are not written down. Believe it or not, I just riffed on an idea.
Oh my gosh. That's so good. Those are, man, I cannot wait to hear the rest of them. So hopefully, maybe you just have to make an album called,
The Busey Files.
Abused by Busey or something like that. Or the Busey Files, something like that, where it's like just all of those because they're very funny. And you're like, this is wild.
Thanks. I don't know if you've seen, Cameo, where you can hire.
Yeah.
So Busey's on there. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I have seen that, actually. I've thought about it before, believe it or not.
It's ridiculous, but it's pretty close to like the random thoughts, because if you watch some of those, he's just like, hey, Vicky, I just want to tell you happy birthday and your husband's leaving you. So good luck with that. It's like, what?
So I also like that you can do voices like, because everyone thinks of a Burt Reynolds impersonator, we all think Norm Macdonald, right? He nailed it on SNL, but is that you doing Burt Reynolds in that?
Technically that all started I don't even know how it started, but it just started with a laugh.
Yeah.
I used to do the laugh all the time. Just the real, I don't know if I can do it right now. anyway, it's dry out here, but that was a thing. And then it kind of just evolved because that I did years ago on my first radio incarnation, which was a Hollywood Edge radio show. And Punk'd was a big thing.
Tells
you how far back this goes. And I thought, what if Burt Reynolds had it on his own punk show, but he doesn't want to go out, so he just calls people.
That's so funny. It was good. I love it. I think it's amazing. Now, how long did it take you, like, once you had the tracks assembled, how long did it take you to actually make it into an album? Like, what was the time process after that?
I think each sketch took about, depending on the sketch, but each sketch took about a week from recording through the cut and then the mix. Probably about a week each.
Okay.
A couple of them, like Dennis Miller, was pretty quick, but most of them took about a week, maybe a week and a half. Just depends. Some of them I spent more time on sound design to try to make them, like The Interrogation of Denise, which is a good sketch, but it's different. But that one, each one's on each side of each side of the speaker or wherever you're listening. Right. So to try to give that feeling of where they're sitting and
back and forth. Yeah.
So that's the one I spent a lot of time just kind of messing around with. And other ones are just kind of flat. But there are a few of them that I kind of did some mixes like that. So about a week, I'd say a week each. And then really scrutinizing the content too as I went along, doing some re-edits after everything was done too, going lose one or two lines here, trying to just like stand up, just go for word economy and try to get it squashed as much as possible. The world's greatest voiceover actor, that one had a really long introduction to it and that just got whacked off. It was just like smack, boom, get rid of it. And then it was because I think that was easily 2 minutes of just intro we don't even need it. Gotcha. So just kind of went with it that way. But anyway, so it was a process for each one. And then just I'm just getting hypersensitive to everything and then just cutting to where you can't cut no more.
Now for a microphone or when you record this, could I use something like this? Like
if I was gonna do myself? So this is the Rode podcast mic, the pod mic.
Yeah.
I bought this for podcasting and et cetera, but I like the sound of it. So I ended up using it for the full album. And I think, this is the only microphone we used.
Did you have to put it like in a box or anything like that to record, or did you just leave it out like you have it right now?
I ended up buying one of those kind of like half moon looking.
I know what you're talking about.
Sound filter
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I had a different setup where I had that, and then I would get really close to the mic at that point. And then even with this mic, it's very good without a pop filter on it. I put two pop filters because I try to get really close on certain ones. And then a couple other microphones, obviously, for whoever was recording on their own, which most of those people I knew either had like Blue Yetis or something along those lines. They had their own mics. But the cool thing is, I'll give you this, and then you guys can, whoever wants to use this, it's free. Autophonic, it's A-U-P-H, Alphonic. Let me bring it up real quick. A-U-P-H-O-N-I-C.com. They are out of Austria. It is a free, there are certain levels, obviously, like with everything, but it's free. And I think they allow you it's an hour or so per month for free, but it's just an algorithm. You can put your audio in there and it'll bring it all your levels up. It'll take out your hiss, your hums, all that kind of thing.
Wow.
So I use that on every single, so I would record my track. I would put it in Alphonic and then fix the raw first. Then that's I go awesome. In, cut it, add my music, everything else, whatever, sound effects and all that. So they're fantastic. And I don't know, but I'm starting to think it's a real small company. I thought it was bigger. I think it might be one guy.
I love Jorg. People like that. Yeah.
But I've talked to Jorg a few times via texting and he's fantastic, right on the spot. But videos too, you can throw your videos in there, do the same thing. It'll correct your audio for you. It'll spit out an audio and video file for you.
That's awesome.
Mixed down. So I used that and it was fantastic because my background's in production, but right. I'm a good sound guy. I'm not great, but I've learned a lot. This album taught me a lot. So I think I'm a better audio guy now than I used to be.
Well, you definitely inspired me. That's definitely one of those things where I was like, man, I want to do a stand-up album, but obviously that's different. You need a lot of layers to do that. But something like this where you can do sketches or songs or act outs or whatever. Silly one-liners like Papas Fritas and like all that kind of stuff. That's fun, And then I can do characters that I've wanted to do because I can do voices like the way you can do voice. I mean, not the same ones that you can do, obviously, but I can do voices too. So it could be fun to do some of those things that I've never done on stage, but would love to do just to do it because I've always wanted to.
To be honest, James, I mean, like this album, I did it because a lot of the stuff that I did before, I mean, I started by doing sketch on radio and then it was years before I ended up, getting on stage for improv and then stand up. But this is where everything that doesn't fit in my stand up goes. So it was kind of nice ideas I had in the past, like, just to do it on stage would just seem weird. Right. Suddenly to bring up people or to do something sketch it during an improv show would be weird. So this is kind of where this belongs for now, at least that's where it's going. Somebody told me you should, do animation for all of these.
Be so expensive. See
that, but that's another project. But maybe down the road, maybe take a couple clips and do it. But I don't know. Like I said, it just kind of fits. So I think for you, that's a good thing. It would go kind of wherever the other things don't fit. You could do this. And
I do have a lot of those. I have a lot of things that I've like written down ideas of stuff. And I'm like, there's no way. I don't know how to do this on stage. This wouldn't work. It works as a sketch or it works as like a funny idea, but it's not going to work as a stand-up.
Yeah.
Bit. That makes
the
sense.
One thing I have, like I have the Jack Black thing on there, the tribute to Jack Black.
Yeah.
I used to do that in the shows, but I don't play guitar really well, and to bring a guitar to every show was ridiculous. And
right,
nobody really likes to follow a guitar comic at any time, even if they're good or bad. So after a while, it was like, you know, and the bit's only like a minute and a half, so it's like to haul this thing everywhere I go for a minute and a half seems ridiculous. So I can put it here, it'll live there, and I can kind of put it away and not worry about it. So
yeah, I really like Luke plays the guitar. Like he does a really good job, and he has a couple of like song bits and stuff. And I was like, dude, just do all of like, just write more songs. He's like, well, yeah, nobody, he's just the same kind of thing that you said. Like nobody wants to follow a guitar comic, or people think like, oh, I'm a hack because I play guitar, or, you know, it's not, it's like, no, dude, that people love that kind of stuff. There was a, what's his name? Steven. I can never remember his name now. He was big in like the late 90s, early 2000s. Steven. I remember he played guitar and stuff, and he would sing songs, and he had like two Comedy Central things that he did. And I loved him. I thought it was amazing that somebody would go and play the guitar and make up these songs and sing funny songs. And some of them were a little dirty, you know, but I liked it a lot. I thought it was funny. And I think that there's not really a lot of that anymore. Even Adam Sandler doesn't do as many songs as he used to do and stuff. Even his new 100% Fresh didn't have as many songs as some of the other
there's
stuff.
There's a couple in there, but
Yeah.
But like, you know, to go back to what you're saying to earlier about like, you know, doing a stand-up album, like this is a different beast, because if you do sketch, you're in control and you can do your recording on your own time and all that. When you go do a live, now it's a whole thing, because you got to get all your mics in the proper place, get them all set accordingly. Hopefully it's tough because with a laugh factor, you don't know how big they're going to be. So you got to kind of pre-guess where the laughs are going to be, and then you can decide later in the mix. But placement of all that, getting everything right, and then hopefully get the right crowd that night, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just and that's nerve wracking. So where I'm at Stir Crazy here in Arizona, we actually have it set up. So we have audience microphones already built into the ceiling.
That's cool.
And then coming off the stage mic. So we can literally, we've done, Brian Kiley just did his album. That's, you can find that online. He did that album at Stir Crazy. It sounds great. And there's a couple other comics who just recently recorded. So, I mean, we're set up for it. So hopefully down the road, we'll be doing a lot more of that. So people will know like, oh, I can go to Stir Crazy, and it's already kind of built in. So
that's cool. That's cool. Well, what do you have going on next? What else is on the docket for you? What are you looking forward to next?
So let's see. All those dates that canceled due to COVID and all that, trying to get those back currently at the moment. I just got back from Colorado, did a 3-show run there, which was my first time back this year because I started off the year with COVID. And so, so finally got those 3 shows back. That's good. I got a show coming up that's already sold out here in a couple of days, which is great. It's just getting more dates right now, getting the album out a little bit more. I released it. I think I've learned you got to pick your release date better. I did it right before Christmas, which was, you'd think would be good, but you're competing against everything and everybody.
Right.
So, got done through Christmas and thought I'll promote heavy. And then I got COVID and didn't promote. So February here, it's February, 2022, trying to promote that a little bit more. So far so good though. I haven't done much, and we've really hit a lot of countries, believe it or not. Australia's big. Australia's downloading quite a bit. And UK.
They were stuck at home for a while. For
I know. So again, the pandemic's making things happen. So it's good. So globally it's getting out there too. And, you know, US wise too. And then I've got, it's a weird thing. I have hard copy CDs, but you know, people still want it, which is weird.
Well, I have a CD player in my car, so I still listen to albums. Like, is that like one of the ones that has like, you can put 6 discs in there, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And so I have on revolving, I have, Seinfeld, I'm telling you for the last time, Rodney Dangerfield, Brian Regan. I think I have, sorry guys, I have a Cosby album in there. And then it's the one that has Chocolate Cake on it, which is one of my favorite bits of his. Okay. And then I can't remember the last two because I haven't heard them in a while. But yeah, I rotate through like about 6 stand-up albums.
I've got Louis C.K. I've got Cosby. I've got nobody controversial.
all the controversial people.
Just give it a few more weeks. That whole tray is going to be, you're not supposed to be listening to. Seinfeld did what? No.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Seinfeld. I mean, the thing is, like, he's a master craftsman when it comes to writing jokes. So I love listening to his stuff, especially if I'm driving around like long distances or going somewhere, because it helps me think of ideas, like of things maybe I've been thinking about that I need to figure out how to get it.
Yeah,
you know, to be not Seinfeldish, but like as close to perfect as I can, because that's the big thing I learned from him, is like just keep working on it. Economy of words, cut, cut, cut.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I think it's the writing. Yeah. Because you hear the joke and you go, okay, and you break it down and go, that's just about the perfect amount right there. Yeah. Listen to that Brian Kiley's new album is just, it's one-liners.
Okay.
I'm not a one-liner comedian, but what he did is the first night. So he wasn't the headliner. He was a feature act that week. And I don't know if you know Brian Kiley, but he was
Conan and stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's Conan's monologue writer along with Lori Kilmartin.
Yeah.
But he was the middle act, 30 minutes. He did, this is what he was telling us. So he wrote like basically 70, I think it was 74 jokes that he did. He did the first night. That was Friday, first two shows. Saturday, a different 74 jokes, did that. And then from there, they cut the album together. And
I couldn't remember 74 one line. I couldn't remember that. Wow.
I don't know how he did it, but
I'm going to have to get him on the podcast. This is
really amazing. Only one premise repeated, you know, but the rest of it was just like, it was like, wow. But it's a great album. It is laugh after laugh after laugh. And it's, again, I don't write one-liners, but it made me go, I think I want to try to write a few just to see if I can do it.
Well, like, I always love like Mitch Hedberg, because he was very much a kind of one-liner kind of guy and stuff. Yep. And when I teach my stand-up class for teens, I always go over his jokes. Like, these are great one-liners. And I do, and the escalator joke is one that I do. Uh-huh. And then I also tell them like exposition jokes where you expound on an idea, and I play the, looking for the new phrase bit, because that's like one of his two best bits that he does. So
yeah. I always think of the donut bit about the receipt for the
yes bread. I do that one too. That's a great one too.
Yeah,
it's hard not to love him, and I miss Mitch, man. Yeah. He's one of the best, and it's
crazy because he didn't leave as much behind, like, say, like Norm, you can go online and do a deep dive and you'll be like, I never saw this clip before.
Yeah,
and this one it's weird. I know a lot of people who aren't even comics that love Norm to death and then go, have you ever seen this clip? And then you start sharing it. You're like, oh, I haven't seen this one. Have you seen this one? No. The guy I was talking about who was helping us out with some of the audio for Stir Crazy for Brian Kiley's album, he is an audio engineer, but he loves Norm Macdonald, but he never knew that Norm actually did a sketch album.
Oh.
And not a lot of people do know, but if you don't, you can find it. That's on Spotify right now. It's insane. Awesome. There's one track that's like, I think it's 20 minutes.
It's wow, 20 minutes really? Long.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. So,
wow.
Worth checking out if you've never heard it.
That's so funny.
Not family friendly.
No, okay. All right.
Definitely worth checking out. So,
so where can people find this album? Where can they buy it if they want to buy it? Where can they stream it if they want to stream it? All that kind of stuff.
iTunes, you can find it for sure if you'd like to purchase it. If you're, I don't even know if this is a clean word anymore. Spotify, you can find it. the world is changing quickly. My website, you can definitely find it, and you can actually listen to it on my website too. So if you can spell my name.
I'll put the link in the show notes for anybody who can't.
There's a new album, and you can click on new album and then it's all there, or it'll tell you where you can go and buy it and all that. So I do not plan on getting rich off this album by any means. I just plan on wanting to get it out there. And so far, surprisingly, I made a little money. So
that's good.
And the nice thing is I own my own production company. So I didn't have to put a lot of money into this. So it's very easy for me to make my money back.
Oh,
so.
I have a question about that, actually. Sure. I knew I had one question I had written down. So you put it out under, did you have to put it on your own company what do they call it? Like, you know, like Warner Brother Records or whatever, you have to like make a record company for it.
So I actually put it under my regular business, my production company name.
Oh, okay.
Because I have music license rights and sound effect rights all through that business.
Okay.
So I just produced it under that. So, and actually any albums I have coming up that are not me, but produced for somebody else, I'll probably do the same just to keep those rights under theirs for. Because really the music rights is kind of a tough thing. It gets muddied up very quickly, but it's all kind of under me. So it passes through very easily, sound effects, all that kind of good stuff. So everything. I probably will change my name eventually because it's one, it's too old sounding because I have the word video in the middle of it.
Right.
So I have to change that. I think I'm changing it over to media.
Yeah,
I
was going to say media is the word to use now.
It's going to be, I think we're going to do media and entertainment. So it'll be something like that. So I can still put the stand-up stuff underneath that too. So yeah, just trying to bounce back from the COVID, all that kind of good stuff and get back out there on the road. And hopefully my dry bar supposed to hit this year.
I hear that over and over again from every comedian I know that's done dry bar. And hopefully this year. I'm like, oh,
they keep telling you. Like, I was originally told before 2021. And then I think in November they said, yeah, we're changing things. So everything's getting pushed back a little bit. So
yeah, I had a friend that did one, I want to say like 3 years ago, and it just came out at the beginning of this year, end of last year. So it's like, it's wild. Yeah. You know what? Good for dry bar. They're putting out comedy and content and stuff like that. So
they have plenty. Yeah. They got plenty to put out. So it's great. So
yeah, yeah. We're excited. I'm excited. All right. And Brian Kahatsu, you can go to is it just BrianKahatsu.com?
BrianKahatsu.com. That's simple.
And then you can spell it. Yep. And then I'll spell it. If you can't spell it, I'll spell it in the show notes and I'll make sure that everybody has a link.
I just take it for granted that everyone can spell it.
Well, actually, what's funny is if you sound it out, you can spell it very easily. Yeah. So
yeah, it's not too hard, but yeah, people put too much. They add too many letters and syllables too.
I was going to say they probably either go like K A H O T.
Yeah.
Like they probably do it that way.
I've seen W's added and ski added to the end, which somehow.
What?
Yeah.
Ski, like Brian Kahatsky?
Yeah. What? So my sophomore yearbook in high school was Wakahatsky, I think. So, you know.
They like combined you with like a sword and wasabi? Is that what they're trying to do? Like,
yeah, I don't know. They just slice and dice it and put it together however they want. So I don't know. It works.
Awesome. Well, Brian, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Go check out Secret Asian Man. It's everywhere that you can buy albums or listen to stream. iTunes. I got mine on iTunes. That's where I wanted to do it. So I downloaded it so Brian can make a little money off of it because I like supporting comedy. That's what I do, man.
I'm taking the kids for ice cream.
There you go. With that nickel.
It'll be one cone we'll all share, but we're going to eat it. And we're going to think of you, James.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you again, Brian. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please like, subscribe. Please go to YouTube. And if you haven't watched it, watch this on YouTube and subscribe there. We're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year. That's the goal. 1,000. We're at 500 and I think 33 or something like that. So we're going. But share this with your friends. Tell everybody about it. Get them to watch it. Get them to go to there. I'll be putting more content out and I have more projects coming. So please, please, please go like, subscribe, and then leave a review on iTunes if you can. That would be awesome. Or wherever you listen to the podcast, leave a review. 5-star, hopefully. You don't have, just be honest. If you don't like it, I'm okay with that too. Like, honesty is the best policy. All right. Thank you again, Brian. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a good one. Bye.